Circles. We're going to be talking to Lydia Zingoni, who is founded a company called Teen Entrepreneur. And basically, what they did is to create a platform to showcase the products and services produced by BRICS young entrepreneurs, to create a platform for the cultivation of a networking environment between BRICS young entrepreneurs, to create and promote intertrade among young entrepreneurs, to learn and share innovative methods of exploiting the vast natural resources of BRICS nations in ways and means that benefit the BRICS population, to debate the business challenges and discuss the business opportunities that exist within BRICS, to share research findings in the propagation and fostering of youth entrepreneurship in the BRICS countries. And it was obviously also to create a platform to showcase the products and services produced by African young entrepreneurs, and to create a platform for the cultivation of a networking environment between African young entrepreneurs. And she's now joining us on the line to talk to us about her business. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Kulosa. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm very well, and I mean, always we live with academics, so you know, time frames and everything else is meaningless, yeah. Really.
Yeah. So you've started this this organization that focuses on teens, and you've called it Teen Entrepreneur, and most of it is about exploiting the opportunities that are coming out of BRICS. You want to create a platform for cultivation of a networking environment between young African entrepreneurs, to create and promote intertrade among young entrepreneurs, to learn and share innovative methods of exploiting the vast natural resources of Africa in ways and means that benefit the African population, to debate the business challenges and discuss the business opportunities that exist in Africa, and to share research findings in the propagation and fostering of youth entrepreneurship in the African continent. Quite a mammoth task that you've set yourself there.
It is. But it just didn't begin there, Kulosa. Teen Entrepreneur, it's actually an NPO, which I founded in 2011 to really address to instill a culture of entrepreneurship in young people. We operate mainly in the high schools and also outside the framework of the schools. The idea is that we need to impart the culture of entrepreneurship in our young people first. We have programs like entrepreneur societies in schools. We have the networking platform, which is called Awaken the Giant. We have, obviously, we have now built on all those things. Now we're looking and saying to ourselves, South Africa is really at the bottom in terms of entrepreneurial uptake. And when we compare with our other youth in the other BRICS nation, which is our partners, Brazil, China, India, and Russia, we see ourselves as really at the bottom. And then it doesn't end there. When we then also compare with our brothers up country, when we compare with Kenya, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Botswana, you see that, again, we are really at the bottom. So the organization has been created to instill a culture of entrepreneurship, to raise up young people in South Africa to really take up the opportunities which us in South Africa have, and also to exploit what Africa as a continent does have.
Brilliant. And I think you've raised quite a lot of important points there, especially around African continent and the resources that we have and the opportunities that we have in our society. What were you seeing as lacking in society when it comes to promoting youth in business?
There hasn't been really a good framework when we really look at South Africa in terms of, I think it comes in maybe through history, that most of the majority of people didn't have the opportunity to set up businesses. And as a result, the majority of our young people don't even know. They are blind to the fact that there is this other opportunity, which is there apart from looking for that particular job they are looking for. So I saw that I was actually working at CPUT, which is the Cape Peninsula University of Technology, as the Information and Libraries Director. And the young people started coming to the library saying, we need information on how to set up our businesses. And I'm thinking, You are at university, you've never run anything before. What is happening before you even get to the university? So those opportunities are not ripe. They're not there in our communities. People lack information, just basic information on where to start, how to start, how do I actually start this kind of thing. So that has really promoted me into action to say, look, in South Africa, we really need to take action. We've been speaking too much, but we need to take action.
I agree with you about the action part. I agree. I think we have spoken so much about things that need to happen in the private sector, in government. There's so much that needs to happen that no one's actually acting. We're talking a lot, and I really agree with you on that one. At Tin Entrepreneur, you run workshops, online business tool shops, entrepreneur olympiads in South African high schools, and much more. Why is it important to engage with youth in these different spaces?
Right. I mean, we are actually inundated. There are 27,000 schools in South Africa. If you sort of do your maths, there are about 16 million young people currently in high schools and in schools in South Africa right now. So if we are to really win the battle, and we're talking about a million entrepreneurs by the year 2030, we really need to be looking at young people currently in school, because by the time we reach 2030, they are the kind of people who will be now the 20, the 30-year-old. So if we are not going to start there, we are already losing the battle. Of course, there are other young people outside the school framework whom we are targeting, but it is important to create, you know, various things so that at least, you know, we created the High School Entrepreneur Society, which is a program which runs as an after-school activity, so that at least we can catch some of these young people before they leave school and expose them to entrepreneurship. Then we have what we call Awaken Design, which is a platform which we take an entrepreneur who has already succeeded, and they inspire other young entrepreneurs to say that it is possible. So we use all these other variety of programs so that at least we can catch everyone. We also have what we call a team boss, which is a youth camp, which we do during the vacation. So where we can get an opportunity, we have something which we've plugged in there so that everybody has got something which they can latch onto in order to hear and to learn and to aspire to be an entrepreneur. We just don't have the jobs to go around. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And how do you assist and work with youth in schools?
In schools, we already have the Entrepreneur Societies, which is a program which runs as an after-school activity. We take about 20 to 50 young people in a school, and that becomes almost like a nucleus. Other young people, whether they are another 1,000 in the school, they are looking at these 50 young kids doing something which is different, which is not there, which has never been there. And obviously they learn also and aspire to be like these other 50, and that's how we do it in the school. We also have the Awaken the Giant, where we take a group of young people from various schools to expose them to one entrepreneur who talks to them about their journey, about the challenges they also have to overcome, to inspire them to be like, it's almost like models, you know. We don't have enough models for our young people to sort of aspire to. So if we can get one and we take 1,000 kids to listen to this young person, at least it inspires them as well.
Yes. And what have you found in your engaging with young people? What makes them different to older people when it comes to being more entrepreneurial and coming up with creative ways of doing things?
They're very enthusiastic. They've got more time than what an older person has, and they can fail as many times as they can without really big consequences. So we have found that if you're working with young people, they are like leaflet paper. They want to absorb everything, and they've got enough time. They don't have to sort of say, if I fail, then what happens? I'm failing with all my family and everything else. So they can start as many business. They'll become serial entrepreneurs once you start with them when they're young, because they come up with ideas which you think which you've never had before. I mean, if we're looking at now the water situation, talk to them, and they'll come up with so many ideas, which will be sort of saying, look, is this guy here in South Africa, or he is talking about this? So it is really important for us to engage with them when they're young, because there is more time for them to mature, more time for them to fail as many times. They will be better entrepreneurs by the time they are grown up. So, and also, the idea of entrepreneurship is not just for them to start a business. It's for them to embody certain of the traits which entrepreneurship teaches them, things like integrity, things like time management, just rocking up, being there in time. So obviously, all those leadership skills, so all those kind of things, you can't teach. Sometimes it's very difficult when people are grown up because they've already gone set in their ways. So young people are easier to deal with, and they are enthusiastic to really learn. Let's get out there and teach these young people.
I agree, and I agree with that as well. I really love what you're saying about teaching young people, especially because young people are more fearless, as you've said as well. They come up with more creative ways of doing things. They don't have any preconceived ideas because they haven't really experienced a lot of some of the hardships that the older you get, you experience, even though there are hardships for young people as well. But I think they approach things tightly, differently, and totally with a very open mind in comparison to the older generation. In which way do you work with youth outside of the school framework?
As I have already said, that there are young people who are already outside this, you know, the schools. They've actually lost out before we came in with entrepreneurship, and obviously they are facing a lot of unemployment, and now they are outside the school framework. We have the entrepreneur camps, the Teen Boss camps, which we run during the holidays and also as an after-school activity, and as a some communities and churches approach us and say, look, we have a group of young people, and can you expose them at least to something, because they really need to have. So we have built in those kind of programs, mainly to catch those young people who are outside the school framework, but they really need to have exposure to entrepreneurship. We also have the Awaken the Giant in You program, which I said about the platform, where they can also come in and listen in. But definitely, we have been approached by many principals of schools who say, look, our grade 12 are almost coming out. Please, can you just come and, you know, talk to them, even if it's just for one day. So we appeal also to community leaders who have got a young population around their fold to make contact with us. And we do have those programs which we can expose them.
And how have you found that working with you people and their idea of entrepreneurship, do they understand what entrepreneurship is? What are their idea of what it is and what it entails?
They understand exactly. I mean, especially now, it's not rock science, because they can actually see that they have been looking for a job. What else can I actually do? And suddenly when you say you have all it takes, and there's so much great opportunity in South Africa, there's so much resources, and yourself, you've got talent and ideas. And we normally start with idea generation, because sometimes people have got all these big ideas which they're thinking about, but once we go through the idea generation workshop, where we say to them, what do you have? What do you see around you? Where can you see opportunities? Where are the challenges in your very own community? And can you solve them for a financial gain? And suddenly, you know, the light bulb comes in, and obviously then they can go on and setting up those businesses. But right now, if you look in certain communities, there's sometimes 79% of young people just sitting around, and suddenly you come up and say, you can pick up yourself, and there is an opportunity. So they do understand what entrepreneurship is once you expose them. Obviously, entrepreneurship, once you expose them, they have inner eyes now to see the world. How come young people from up country come here and suddenly see something which our young people don't see? So once you empower them to say, you also can actually see this, there are opportunities right around you. and suddenly they can, you know, they are very enthusiastic and they really do understand what entrepreneurship is all about. But you need to have that conversation with them.
So where do we draw the line between young people in business for their own benefit to young people being exploited in a world they may not yet understand?
These young people do actually understand, like I've just said, once you expose them, there is no way. They are very streetwise. It's, you know, I think, you know, when you look at people like Bill Gates, Mike Zuckerberg, those people started their businesses when they were about 13, 14, 15, 18 years. So, I mean, once you expose them, let's not be fearful and say, let's keep this for the older people. Expose everywhere. Go on the internet, everywhere. When you look at young people doing great things in this world, especially with technology now, you know, you can look right, left, and center, up and right, around the whole globe, and see young people in other countries doing great things. Our young people are no different from those. They aspire for the same thing. So definitely there is nobody is ever going to exploit them. And some people say if they get their idea and then somebody runs away with once you have your own idea, it's your idea, you possibly know how to take it to the next level. So there's no exploitation. But we can, you know, we can't be sitting on the fence and saying to ourselves, look, we are afraid because our kids will then be so much knowledgeable. There's nothing. After all, we've got 36, or in some cases, 79% unemployed. We must expose them to entrepreneurship because that's the only way we are going to solve the unemployment figures in South Africa.
Can you talk to us about the BRICS Young Entrepreneurs? Why did you decide to form this group and how does it assist with South African youth who may be in the startup phase of the small businesses?
The idea of the BRICS Young Entrepreneur Expo and exhibition is really to say to ourselves, how can we benchmark with our counterparts in the BRICS nation? If we look at South Africa and we look at the entrepreneurs, the young entrepreneurs in South Africa, how do they compare with, say, some other young entrepreneurs in China or in Russia or in Brazil or in India? It's really to sort of get our young people to be exposed. So the idea is we take, let's say, 100 entrepreneurs from each of those countries, we put them in one platform and compare what they have, what they are producing, what they are doing in terms of their businesses, and expose our young people who are also doing businesses, and then compare with those young people. We also then bring in academics and researchers who are researching in the field of entrepreneurship to see and expose the challenges and the opportunities which either South Africa has or the BRICS nation has for our young people. I mean, we are in a group of countries which owns or which has about 42% of the world's population. So we should really be able to emulate what is happening in China in terms of business, what is happening in Russia, what is happening in India and in Brazil. I mean, those two countries, if you look at China and India, they have the largest population, and yet they are producing a lot of young people coming in through the fold.
Yeah. Very good point. I agree with you there. And how can people get involved with the organization if they would like to assist with the work that you're doing?
As I mentioned to you, we have about 27,000 schools which still need to be reached. I mean, we don't work alone in the space. There are other organizations, but we are sort of taking the lead role in exposing entrepreneurship into schools and platforms and communities. We need each person or organization to come on board and help each school next to them to at least establish an entrepreneurial society. So we are really appealing to corporates, to individuals, and to people who have been former students at your school. Colossa, your school previously where you went to high school, does it have an entrepreneurial society? So we really want each and everybody to challenge themselves and say, what am I doing to my former school? What am I doing to my former community? And come and put their hands with us so that we have the resources. It costs about between 50,000 and sometimes 35,000 to create the first entrepreneurial society, because you've got to resource it, you've got to have computers and everything else. So once it's there, it's there. So obviously the next group can benefit from those resources, and it goes on and on. So we're really appealing to South Africa to say, if we want this country to have a million entrepreneurs by the year 2030, they must join hands with us, and we must create this revolution in our starting in our schools and in our communities.
Yeah, I agree with you there. In closing, I mean, you've been involved in this for a while now, and what has been the one perception that you had that was reaffirmed, and what was the one perception that you had as well that was proven wrong, and what was the biggest learning that you found out of this process?
I actually thought that, you know, once I realized young people really needed to have an entrepreneurial mindset and to instill a culture of entrepreneurship in young people, and I thought, talking about it to policymakers and the government and corporates, it's just going to be, yes, this is exactly what we... It's been a hard road to actually convince people to say, look, this is the way we should go. Until, you know, the world has opened up now, technology makes, you know, people communicate with other organizations and other countries, and suddenly the light bulb has come. And we are inundated now with people saying, we've got a group of young people, they need to be, you know, trained. And suddenly the resources is the one thing which is now, you know, in short supply. And yet the harvest is there, people are ripe, they want entrepreneur, they want to be at least exposed. What is this entrepreneurship? What? How can I actually exploit my own talent? So it is one thing where I thought that, you know, immediately in the last, you know, 8 years when I've been involved, I thought the first week everybody would sort of grab this thing and say, look, yes, we want it. But it's taken a long time of educating not just the schools themselves, but also the policymakers, the politicians, the business people. Now they're coming, but we need more. I mean, I cannot even emphasize it enough. We really need a lot of resources so that at least we can turn this country up, you know, around.
Thank you very much, Lydia. Thank you for your passion for the young people. Thank you for your passion for entrepreneurs. And thank you for all the work that you're doing. I think if more people like you would do more out there, we would really grow the entrepreneurial space and have more people becoming creators and job creators and really closing some of the gaps that we have within our society. So just want to wish you all the best with all your future endeavors. And thank you for making the time to come speak to us here on the Overnight Live on Cape Talk, especially during such a godforsaken time in the morning.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate this.